come the following Sunday with you. There's a few things that I've learned about myself as I've gotten older. It's not fun. The things I used to giggle about my grandmother doing, I find myself doing. Jumping up really quick, running into a room only to get there and forget why I was going in there. I have been known to repeat stories many, many times. Thank you. And as my husband so graciously, I've said to him, you know, it's not really polite when we're in a group of people to say, oh, do I have to hear that story again? That's not a polite thing to say when we're in a group of people. And so, but I find myself repeating those things over and over and over. I'm kind of reminded of the three senior adults that were talking, and one of them said, you know, when I stand before the mirror, I can't remember if I'm getting dressed or undressed. And the other one said, well, when I get into my car, I can't remember if I'm coming or going. And the other one said, well, I'm glad I don't have that problem, knock on wood. Excuse me, I need to go answer the door. So we all have problems, but isn't it wonderful? I mean, our memory is a wonderful thing. It can fade as we get older if we're not careful. I think Larry this morning made a statement that I'm going to write down. You know, you continually learn as you're an older adult, and sometimes you have to throw things out of the bucket in order to remember the new thing that you've learned because your bucket gets full, but as you get older, it seems like. But our memory is a blessed thing. The scripture in Psalms starts off by saying, the memory of the righteous is blessed. So God wants us to remember things. He wants us to see things. Isaiah says, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there's no other God. I am the God that is there and there's none like me. And so our memory is put here as a special thing for us. We've all walked down memory lane many times. There's in the malls, there's a little shop called Things to Remember. I don't know if anybody's been there, and you can get little trinkets and inscribe special events on them so that you can look back and remember them. Here in the United States, in particular, we use a wedding ring a lot. It's to remind me of what a blessed day it was when I got married to the love of my life. You know, there's things that trigger our memories, events and songs and scriptures that trigger memories in us all the time. One of my fondest things that I have hidden away in the attic in a special little box are some little Christmas bulbs. They have dates on them from the beginning of the day that we got married, the first year of our Christmas. Mike's mom bought them for us up till the first year of our baby was born. And that's the last one that I have. She passed away shortly thereafter. Those are precious treasures to me. There are things that help me remember. Different things that help us remember. You know, Jesus sat down at the Last Supper and he shared a meal with his disciples. And then he led them through this ancient observance of the Feast of Breads, or Passover as we know it. You know, he was a master teacher. And he used this opportunity to plant an important memory in the disciples as they gathered there in that upper room. He shared a meal with them for their benefit and for ours. You know, the scripture in Luke 22 records that he said to the disciples to do this in remembrance of me. There was a cheat down here. You can look down here. So, you know, remembrance of me. You do these things in remembrance of me. Jesus took an old symbol and filled it with a new meaning. I want to take tonight to look back a little bit and reflect on what God Almighty had done for the Israelites too. God continued each day across the world to do wonderful things for people that create wonderful memories for them. You know, have you ever been just cruising along? And I hate to use the word status quo, but okay, I'm going to go there. I'm lukewarm. Okay, been cruising along, kind of lukewarm. Sun is shining, the birds are singing. There's apple pie at every meal without any calories in it. I mean, it's just a wonderful time. And then all of a sudden, boom, the enemy steps out and hits you with something. All of a sudden, there's a struggle there. And sometimes it kind of knocks you off balance sometimes. I've been through some things this last month. It just kind of knocked me off balance for a day or two. And it took a little while for somebody to say, why are you so worried? You're a child of God. I'm like, I remember, I'm a child of God. I've got this. He's got this. It's going to be okay. And we look at things and we get distracted from that sometimes. We look at the world and we get our eyes on the circumstances of the world and we forget. We're children of God. He's got every step, every place we're going, everything we're encountering. He's gone there before us. Our job is to stay focused and love people the way he loves us, even when it's hard. Pray for people that don't like us, or we just don't like their character. We need to pray for them, that God would use them, that God would bring them back into the fold. God would bring them back to where they need to be. If you look over in 1 Samuel 4, 5, sometimes we forget where we're going. In 1 Samuel 4, 5, we're going to look at the Israelites and their memory loss that they had here. 1 Samuel 4, 5 says this, "And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted loudly, and the earth shook." Now, the Ark of the Covenant was the representation of the throne of God for Israel. And so it was kept in the most holy place in the temple, and the common people really never saw it. The priests did, but the common people never really saw it. So there was some provisions laid out if it was going to be moved. And so there was a cloth that was always draped over it. So they never really saw the Ark of the Covenant, but they knew when the presence of God had come into. And so as we're standing outside the camp here, this great yelling comes up, this shouting comes up out of the camp, and the ground begins to shake because they're so excited when they see what they know is the Ark of the Covenant come in. If we back up, though, to 1 Samuel Verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1, we see the scripture tells us that during this time that prophets, when the prophets and the visions were rare, that there was only one person that God spoke to at that time, and that was Samuel. There wasn't much God's word going around, but when it did come around, Samuel would catch it. Samuel was the one that was able to speak it out. And so as Samuel, if you remember the story about Samuel, Hannah was his mother. She prayed for a child. She was barren, had no children, prayed for a child. And she made a promise to God, "If you give me a child, I'm going to take this child and I'm going to dedicate this first child to the Lord, and he'll serve you all of his life." God granted her a son named Samuel, and she took him to the temple. The scripture tells us at the appropriate time and left him there. And Samuel served God all of his life in the temple, working in the church and doing the things that he needed to before the Lord. And consequently, he alone would hear God's voice. Because of his pure heart and his service, he alone would hear God's voice. And the Bible mentions, every time the Bible mentions Samuel, it really talks about his pure heart, how he would pray to God and God would speak to him and he would hear it. And then he was able to repeat what God would say to the people of Israel. He was a great spokesperson for Israel. When people prayed on behalf when he prayed on behalf of Israel, as I said, you know, the people would get a message from God through Samuel. And so there's a lesson in itself to keep your heart pure. Communicate often with God and then listen, because he is going to speak to you. But let's go on to 1 Samuel 4. So we're getting back to this great church service, the shouting and shaking of the ground thing. But in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we see there had been an issue. And part of that problem in the world circumstance that Israel was living in was the Philistines had came along and they had provoked an attack on Israel. And Israel went out, the elders of Israel had taken their military out and fought the Philistines. And that day they lost 4,000 men. 4,000 men gave their life that day. And so they come back into the camp and the elders are sitting around there. These are the real spiritual people, if you want to know what elders are. These are the real smart people, you know. And so they get this great idea. If we go up to Shiloh and we get the Ark of the Covenant and we bring it back into camp here, then we can go out and we can whoop those Philistines because we're a little better than them. We'll have the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. So they go up. These elders go up. They get the Ark of the Covenant. They bring it back into camp. The people see the Ark coming in because they recognize what it is. And they begin to shout and they begin to holler because they're thinking, wow, God said, but nowhere did God say. They didn't ask God to go into the battle. They told God to go into the battle with them. Now, on the outside of camp are the Philistines camped out here. And the scripture tells us that they begin to hear the shouting and the ground shaking, and they kind of got afraid, because even the enemy knew how wonderfully great Israel's God was. And the scripture tells us that their elders, the other smart guys, they said to their men, "Hey men, this is the story, that this is that God that beat up on Egypt and delivered him. And so tomorrow, basically, this is what he's telling them, you're going to die. So just buck it up and be a good man and fight like you know how to fight, because we're not coming out of this." Their God evidently is in the camp because of all the shouting. Now that was the outward appearance. But that was the furthest from the truth. Because 1 Samuel tells us that the Israelites went out, took the Ark of the Covenant, went into battle. They were beaten severely. 34,000 men die, almost 40,000 men now that they've lost. And on top of that, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and took it with them. All because they didn't ask God what he would have them do. They told God. Okay, do you see the difference in that? They were no better than the pagans outside the camp, because they hadn't asked God if he wanted to go to battle. They told God he was going to battle. And sometimes we get that backwards in our life. You know, I've often said I can work a lot of problems.